The high portion of today's episode is brought to you by Morning Glory.
Morning Glory. Wake, bake, and take some time to smell the flowers.
George. Welcome to High and Inside, the only baseball podcast. Mary Beth, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. It's the only one. That's so cool. It's cool that we invented it.
Yeah, how come there's not more?
Thank you for acknowledging that, because I've been getting pretty, like, cheesed that no one's given us, like, an award or
something. It's cheesing us.
It's even the only one that has this name.
Yeah. So, like, well, yeah.
Anyhoozle, I'm doing well.
I wanted to ask you what kind of cheese it was cheesing you.
Oh, Brie Larson.
Brie Larson cheese.
My favorite cheese.
Fair.
You might prefer an Allison Brie.
You're ahead of me on these cheese puns. I couldn't think of any.
I mean, it was really just the two ladies' names.
Yeah. I like a good Brienne of Tarth. I got Game of Thrones on the mind.
I was going to say Luis Guzman, but I don't think that's cheese.
No, that's just a person.
Why did I think Guzman was cheese?
I don't know.
I was like, what is the cheese I'm thinking of even?
I don't know.
Guzmanzarella? Oh, maybe Gouda?
Luis Gouda. Luis Guzman. That sounds like
that's
Jamaican.
Terrible.
Okay. Well, that's been the cheese section. What what exciting baseball things do you have?
I want to
on deck for me this week.
Tip this off by saying Albert the Big Cheese Pujols made his return to St. Louis for the first time since he left the team to play for the Angels. That's been, believe it or not, 8 years or at least 8 seasons.
It's crazy that that teams can go that many years without playing each other.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, we're also watching two baseball games while we record this, and the Nationals just hit a solo shot. Juan Soto to tie the game up with the Braves.
Juan Solo homer.
Yeah, all right.
And made it 2-1.
Back to the big cheese.
Yeah. So, honestly, one of the reasons I wanted to bring this up is because I think that the Cardinals are a divisive fan base.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk to them about it, they're the best fans there are. Best fans in baseball is literally a, you know, joke on the internet about the Cardinals, a sarcastic one at that, because everyone else...
Can I ask what they've done to earn that reputation?
I believe in the last few seasons done such things as, like, fan members or members of the fan base have, like, yelled racial slurs at opposing outfielders, and even members of the team. Fans that were very, very aggressive about Dexter Fowler.
Yeah.
In part because he came from the Cubs. So they were just like, oh, we're going to get this, like, Cubs. And then he kind of scuffled for them.
Yeah.
And everyone just, like, decided it was okay to be, say, wildly offensive and terrible things about him,
mm-hmm.
including, like, the owner of the team.
Interesting.
So I think that did not earn them any good karma.
They feel like... Philadelphia's fans in baseball don't feel like they exist outside the Philadelphia fans represent.
Ooh.
Do they know? Okay. No. Then I just don't know. Then
I literally saw something on Twitter today that was like, I hate that the Phillies lost yesterday because now just all the takes are going to flood in.
Oh, yeah.
And that person even went so far as to say because the Eagles just won the Super Bowl, fans probably aren't like just – flocking to like mini camp news and stuff like that, and they're actually paying attention to like the other teams
because they need something to be mad about, because they
exactly. And you know, this season they really tried to go out and buy some
guys, a good point.
And try to get the wins, and they're like 2 games above 500.
It's
maybe
a bit of a disaster.
It's
for them
been a pretty rough start for a team that everyone was saying was going to be the best team in that division.
But this was about the big cheese.
Let's take it back to the big cheese. I wanted to commend the Cardinals because they really welcomed him back fully. There
mm-hmm.
was nobody was, you know, booing Pujols. No,
I'm
booing the poos.
I'm impressed you didn't say poo and Pujols. Because I would have.
and I am pleased to see that. Like, he's got to still be their guy. And mm-hmm. to see their fans acknowledge that is great. I do think it helped that his home run that he's hit in the series so far, I believe he has one more game today there. His home run was a solo homer, and the Cardinals were up by 4 in the 7th.
That's
so
great, yeah.
It didn't, like, endanger their lead, and they gave him a freaking standing ovation. He had to come back out of the dugout and, like, tip a hat to the crowd.
Sure.
It was cool. Yeah. And, like, that's what you want to see, man, especially for a guy like that to have done what he did in St. Louis, and this to be the very first series he's had there since
then.
It's cool.
It seems easier for baseball to be a sport that gives former players warmer receptions just because each game matters so little.
Sure, that's a really good point.
So if it was anything but that, especially when he hasn't played for them in almost a decade.
Yeah.
Like, anything short of that would be kind
two
of...
Two terms.
Brett Favre going to the Vikings, that sucks.
Sure.
You gotta play them twice a year.
Sure.
So, like...
And he's the center of the team.
Yeah, and he's on, like... So it's different. So I'm glad to see that they're not... That, like, that's a cool thing that can happen.
Agreed. So hopefully, you know, he still has some fun today, and the fans just really get to, like, eat it in.
Eat it in?
Yeah, all that cheese. Yeah. The other big news in baseball this week is that the All-Star finalists were announced. So the preliminary voting is over, and now each position will have 3 members that the fans will vote for a 28-hour period to choose the starter.
It's a weird, like, primary system this year. Has it been like that for a while?
No, new this year.
That's new this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they have, like, a limited voting window.
28 hours for some reason.
Like, well, yeah, that's a silly amount of time. Why? Mm. What is the point of doing that? Just to, like, do you think it's where people get disengaged and they, like, vote and everyone just goes, like, whatever? They're just trying to make a thing out of it?
I think that's probably part of it. I think part of it is that if you look at what's happened so far in the voting, you have 2 teams that have 7 members that are still in the vote. And if those teams had been allowed to have, like, that much steam, who knows how many starters all would come from. Like, I think this gives the opportunity for some other teams or players that might not garner votes in a preliminary to get more in the
second round. It seems I would almost argue that it seems like that would happen. That would happen the opposite way, because it's like you go, like, oh, who's this guy? Shit, vote for mine.
I was actually wondering that.
Yeah, because again, you're like, if people don't know who Josh Bell is because he plays for the Pirates, and they have, like, a second chance to acknowledge how little they know him and vote for somebody else.
But I think Josh Bell being in the final vote will mobilize Pirates fans to vote more than maybe a, like, general election would have.
They're certainly the Pirates are certainly, like, trying to get the vote out as much as they can. They were watching some of the game today. They mentioned they were having, like, an event at the park when the Pirates are away where you can come vote for Josh Bell, and they're doing it at first base. Like, fans get to come out onto the field.
That's
so it seems
cool.
Like a smart, cool thing to do.
And, like, how open do you think teams would be to be doing that if it wasn't for this, like, finalist vote, you know?
Yeah, I guess it seems to just, like, pump up something arbitrarily. I guess really the take should be that they're like, yeah, whatever, it's fine.
Sure.
Like,
sure. I think,
like,
so too. It's
there's
like
nothing,
it doesn't matter enough to not, like, experiment with it at the very least.
Yeah, there's nothing big here. There's nothing that important or that sacrosanct here that we have to be so dogmatic about how it's done, right? It's just the All-Star game. Like, who cares?
I think that the only real notes I had on this are it's interesting that Bryce Harper and Manny Machado completely missed the finalists voting. Ah. So 2 big contracts, guys just got comfy, settled in, and no one, even their star power didn't garner enough votes.
That's interesting.
Aaron Judge is in the final voting, and he's been injured for more of the season than he's played.
And that feels like the kind of type of thing that should happen is fans go like, Aaron Judge is good. He's been injured. I didn't know that.
Right. Exactly. But, you know, it seems like the opposite happened with Harper and Machado. Plenty of people could have gone like, oh, yeah, Harper, he's good. He went to a big, but like enough people were paying attention that he hasn't been playing well enough to earn an all-star
and
spot.
If Philly had good fans, they'd vote for their guy.
I agree. I mean, it's of note that the Braves had 7 members voted into the final vote, and no one else in the NL East made the list.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of deserving guys.
But I do think that Pete Alonso of the Mets, who's a rookie, who just broke the Mets rookie record set by Daryl Strawberry, I think. Or no. Yeah. Did he play baseball?
Yeah, Daryl Strawberry did.
Yeah. Yeah. So
he wasn't a farmer. He wasn't like a straw. What else did he do?
Oh, well, I didn't. Did he play another sport as well?
No.
Oh, I don't know why.
You
I thought
think of
he
Bo
was
Jackson?
A football player, too.
Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson are the only like 2 sport guys.
I think it was Daryl Strawberry who's rookie record.
Yeah,
he broke.
That makes sense.
I also think that the Nationals' Anthony Rendon got snubbed. He absolutely is one of the best third basemen in the league and is leading the NL in a lot of hitting categories. So, again, it's like a fan base that didn't rally around their guy because the team's kind of struggling.
Yeah.
And
maybe it's like the way they retaliate.
Right.
They're like,
yeah.
Well, if the team's not good, why should I vote for the guy?
Yeah,
maybe they're that engaged and we're not giving them credit. Maybe we don't know anything.
And that's all for the episode. That's really all I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Is it was just kind of an interesting breakdown. Trout's in the running. He has the longest active streak of being voted in by the fans.
Yeah. Would you say like it's not a given that he'll make it? He kind of has to like swim upstream.
Sure. Yeah.
Or it seems like you wouldn't say that.
No, I guess I could have potentially said that.
Yeah, but.
But you said.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
We should be clear. He said that. How are you feeling about baseball in general this weekend?
It's hard when your team is last in the division.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
Yeah.
The I've been watching games less. I've been checking box scores. I've been choosing to do other things while games are on. I also feel like with the Pirates especially, I swear to you, when I watch them, they do worse.
Mm.
I need to like make a spreadsheet
and
really see like break it down, because I swear to you, I'll look at a box score and be like, the Pirates are up 2-0. Let me turn on the game, and the Padres just hit a grand slam, or like I swear to God, it happens all the time. Maybe it's just that I'm noticing it, but.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of like syndrome name for that.
Yeah, it's like the sports version of the Berenstain Bears thing.
I was gonna say,
which is like the Streisand effect.
Yeah.
The Streisand effect is, I think, the internet thing is when you try to delete something, when you try to remove information from the internet,
it keeps. Oh, I see. I'm thinking of the phenomenon where like the first time when you hear about something for the first time, and then you.
Think it's that,
you think it, you're hearing about it more, but it's just because you're aware of it or something.
Yeah, there's names for all these things, but this podcast isn't Google, so
long notes section.
So it's been hard to watch them. I've been literally trying to manufacture them playing well by not watching the games, because I feel like when I watch them, they don't. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They've actually won 3 in a row, and I haven't been watching, so maybe there is something to it. It seems like it's hard. I'm noticing that I'm more in tune with the game, so I can tell when I feel like a lead is safe or not. Like as a kid, I used to think that a 1 or 2 run lead was like, you're good. Usually baseball scores don't change. And I'm seeing the game as more fluctuating. It's really weird now that watching this much baseball, and people are like, baseball is boring. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, people are scoring runs, and then like they tie the game up, and someone goes ahead, and then like they're all, like, I'm zoomed in enough to see the different points of articulation and the like thing that if you're at a distance,
it looks
like a flat line.
Sure. That's a great analogy.
I think that's how I feel about it now. And yeah,
this season is probably even more of a opportunity to see those bumps in the line because hitting is up and bullpens are down. So yeah. The lead is changing more.
The concept of the bullpen is so like unique to baseball, not in just having players that have to be subbed out, but the fact that essentially later in the game, when the game is more on the line, you have to bring in less capable pitchers just by the nature of it. I mean, like, if you're going to run through, what do you think the average pitchers that pitch for a team in a game are? 4? 3?
I would say at least 4, yeah.
Right? So, like, you have to bring in a couple, like, obviously your starter's probably your best pitcher, your closer's a specialist, and the other guys should have their roles, but if the starter gets bounced earlier, you have to bring somebody else in. It's really weird that baseball seems to be have this mechanic that makes it easier for hitters as it goes along.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, other sports don't. That, like, if you start who's the best pitcher in the league?
Max Scherzer.
So if you start Max Scherzer in a game, he doesn't get to pitch at the most important moments of the game.
Yeah, there's truth to that.
It's really backwards, I think, from a lot of other sports when the game's on the line, you know, Steph Curry or LeBron James has the ball in their hand. When the game's on the line, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, they have the ball in their hand.
Sure.
And, like, you don't see that from the defensive side in baseball. And I'm not trying to say it's better or worse. I'm just saying it's different. It's kind of crazy when you think about it that, like,
sure,
the theory isn't to save your best pitchers for later. And, they've talked about having an opener, and that, like, almost makes sense to me now. It's like, if you're going to give up runs, give them up now so you have more time to get them back.
I think my counterargument to all of this would simply be that there's something to be said for a fresh arm.
Yeah, sure.
That's my only, like, possible hole in this, is that, like, it may be, on the whole, not as strong a pitcher. He's not strong enough to be the closer. He can't go far enough to be a starter. But his arm is fresh as hell, and he's going to throw 15 pitches and then not pitch anymore.
But at the end of the day, when you look at your pitchers and you go, if you have to get one guy out, who's the guy?
Yeah.
And often it might be someone who doesn't ever get to that spot. I mean, technically, closers, the Pirates have a great closer.
Sure.
Who just seems to be automatic, and it's fun to watch, but some games he doesn't even play.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's just something I've noticed that I don't have, like, a good take on, but it's different. And I think when people say baseball is boring and they can't get into it, that's part of the reason that some of the drama is sucked out. It's like, this guy's a great pitcher. Watch him pitch for the first half of the game. Then when it's really important, he's not even going to be allowed on the field.
Yeah.
I kind of think you should be allowed to put any pitcher in at any inning. And when you pull them, they should be allowed to come back.
Interesting.
I kind of do.
Mars, and it's funny you say that because the league is almost steering away from that.
Yeah.
Because they know that pitching changes eat up time. Yeah. And the league is so on this pace of play kick that they are considering a, like, 3-batter minimum or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I just want to see the starters and, like, the marquee names pitch at more important junctures in the game.
And here's the thing is, if you put a 3-batter minimum on and you can't get and those 3 batters all get on base or all walk or whatever it is, then how much more time are you adding to the game
than
if you'd been able to bring another pitcher in?
Yeah, and take them out after one.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, how do you know that would actually work?
Yeah, if the first pitch the guy throws is, like, in the seats,
trash.
It's like, oh, God. We gotta
exactly.
I wanted to ask you this question, and this will kind of bleed into our home team segment. And I talked a little bit about the Pirates.
Yeah,
only other thing I want to say is Kevin Newman seems to have won the battle of the, like, young middle infielders, and he's getting regular starts now. Cole Tucker hasn't been seen in a while, which is fine because Kevin Newman just extended a hitting streak to, like, 14 games today. He's batting, like, .315.
His batting average is, like, almost twice Tucker.
He also,
like,
has a
inarguable
bad arm tattoo type thing that, like, Stephen Brault does, who. Yeah. Had an RBI single today as a pitcher. But that's the only other thing I really wanted to mention about the Pirates.
Okay.
But I wanted to ask you this question since we're talking
about Josh Bell.
Yeah, and vote Josh Bell. Hashtag Bell.
Hashtag bring Bell, that Bell. Bring that Bell. Bell.
Hashtag Bell and Sebastian. Hashtag Beauty and the Beast's yeah. main characters. Bell. Hashtag
Taco Bell.
Taco
Think
Bell.
Outside the Bell.
Yeah. Hashtag if you didn't know, if you misheard what someone called the train system in Chicago, you would say, did you just call that the Bell? I thought it was called the L.
Wow.
We've lost.
Are there pitchers on, are there runners on the bases? Because that was from the stretch.
Here's what I wanted to ask you. So today in the Braves game, to steal a little bit of your thunder, your young, promising pitcher, Sokolov.
Mike Soroka.
Soroka. Sokolov is a character in a Metal Gear Solid game. Mike Soroka got hit at when he was batting. He mm-hmm. got hit by a pitch. He got hit right into his forearm of his pitching hand. He took the base, and then they pulled him out for precautionary reasons. Is something like that a good argument for the DH?
Absolutely, positively. Every single AL fan sees a thing like that, and they go, designated hitter, every single one. I swear to God, it's like a tick. Like, someone in the Facebook baseball group that I haven't paid as much attention to this season because I haven't been on Facebook as much, which is ultimately a good thing.
Yeah, keep that going.
Been thinking about deleting it. Someone in that group will probably post that happened and be like, designated hitter. Yeah. Someone did it when Scherzer took the ball off his eye and batting practice.
Okay, and like that seems like the obvious answer is like you have a DH, but it's like, well, it's not just to keep the pitchers healthy. Grand, you want to see that. However, I guess my question would be, why aren't pitchers wearing a shit ton of padding on their pitching
yeah,
arms when they bat?
I agree.
Like, you have the helmet addendum thing that mm-hmm. goes over the cheek now. A lot mm-hmm. of elbow pads, a lot of different pads.
Yeah.
Why not just beef your throwing arm and shoulder up with just yeah. some like why
that's
would
a great question. I have no idea.
Why is no one doing
why
that?
Not especially it was like off the inside of his elbow, like, and maybe that's why, because it's so fluky, like he's not even leading with his pitching arm and he still got hit in it.
Yeah, like it's his back arm. Mm-hmm. Like I it seems so stupid to me that they're not trying to protect those pitchers more. I don't know if there's rules against what equipment you can have, but like that's
no,
so
pretty,
dumb.
It seems
let them,
like
let them wear like Winter Soldier arms. Like just steal just whatever.
One
like,
funky arm, one yeah. normal arm.
I mean, they stand there for like they're so insignificant as batters in a game, even though Stephen Brault just got an RBI.
Yeah.
Today. The that to put it seems like more risk than reward
yeah.
than you could have. Like beef them up, put them in a chain link cage where they just have like a slot through which they can swing their bat, you know, like
always
know.
Protect pitchers, just make them bubble boys
yeah.
and give them the ball and the bat whenever they need it.
Yes.
No,
we've talked about the idea of putting screens. So
that's
comebackers
what I,
won't hurt them.
What,
like,
about, yeah.
what, like, why not?
I'm overall, just couldn't be more excited about watching the Braves right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're hitting the crap out of the ball. They've had just a fantastic June. Every up and down the lineup, everybody's hitting well. The only real thing that continues to be a downer is the performance of Mike Foltynewicz.
Yeah.
He just got sent
literally
down.
A downer.
Yeah, he just got sent down. I didn't even mean to do that, but here we are. He just got sent down to AAA after last night's game. I mean, he's got a almost 7 ERA, and he was an all-star last year.
Yeah.
Today in the game, they had to rattle off, like, the last 4 or 5 guys that it happened to.
Yeah.
To, like, make fans feel better, I think.
Yeah, like.
And it was, like, Shelby Miller, another former Brave. Like,
yeah.
So it's tough, and a lot of his stuff always gets talked about in terms of like his emotions on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone's always like, he's gotta learn to control his emotions because like he's giving pitches away to the umpire and stuff. And I'm like, I just don't know if I fully agree with that.
I guess I need more clarification as to what they're saying. Are they saying that because he gets mad, the umpire doesn't give him calls?
That is part of the argument, but I think that mostly yeah. it's simply because he's, like, overthrowing.
Yeah.
Like, if you get too emotional
yeah.
and you can't control your pitching through those emotions, I
yeah.
think is, like, the more major
it's,
part of that argument.
Like they say in football, like, when you throw – when quarterbacks throw interceptions, they say, like, they'll often be like, well, he's got to have a short memory here.
Yeah, right.
And just, like, forget about it. Like, yeah. You can't do anything about it now. That happened. Going, like,
yeah.
Dwelling on it doesn't improve your next pitches.
I just hesitate to talk about a player like that. Like, well, he's got to be less emotional. Like, no. Like, I guess maybe he's got to learn how to, you know, control his pitches better. Like, yeah. Can we just talk about it like that? Like, I hesitate to tell anyone to, like, take their emotion out of the game because I think that's wrongheaded.
Yeah, I think it's about knowing when is the appropriate time to display emotion.
Yeah.
You know, like, do it in between innings. Do it at the end of at bats, sure. You know? Like, it's just about, like, staying. I think it's more, like, I think when people say that, they might be saying, like, he just needs to be a little bit more focused.
Yes.
And just, like, yes, that happened. That sucked. We're not saying you're wrong for being mad about
yes.
it. But, like, you got to throw your next pitch and be in the right mindset to do it. And if you can only pitch well when things are going well,
yeah,
you might not. That attribute of someone who's good at what they do?
Of course. And I think I just, like, prefer, like you said, to talk about it more in that, like, stay focused, pitch through this. Like, they were saying a lot that he had really, like, negative body language during the game yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay. Like,
I mean, if it affects you in a way that, like, he's literally, when he's on the mound, slumping and changing the way he's throwing,
that's part of it.
It seems like they're just like, he pouts a little too much and we notice it.
Yes.
And, like, I think there is an argument to that, simply saying that, like, if you're being demonstratively negative like that, your brain is focusing on what went wrong and not caring enough about how to make the next thing go right.
Sure.
But I think I don't think that's new. The type of nuance that they're getting at, they're just like, he was sad, and I don't like that he's sad because when people are sad, they makes me think that they're weak, and I am strong man.
Yes, like, that's like, obviously yeah. like the biggest thing that I cringe surrounding it is like it just, I don't want it to come off as like. Like, suck it up.
Yeah.
This is baseball. Yeah. Like, I don't want that.
Yeah, but similarly, if you're at your job, you can't just walk around screaming and yelling. I think there's an element of professionalism to it.
And that's the thing. But
they're not in offices. They get to be a little demonstrative when they want to be.
Right.
I think talking about it in terms of, like, focus.
Sure.
Is maybe the way to approach something like that.
I think you're probably right.
And they're probably like, yeah, it went bad. It's not going to get fixed by.
Exactly.
Yeah. But hopefully he turns it around. Because, I mean, was he supposed to be a, like, blue chip prospect? Or was he kind of like a guy who became an all-star and everyone was like, wow, what a surprise?
No, it's definitely more the former than the latter. Like, it's actually cool. He was initially in the Astros. He was drafted by the Astros. He's in their org. And he came over. I'm not exactly sure how he came to the Braves, but in their signing of Keuchel, he's reunited with someone who was kind of a mentor for him when he was first drafted by the Astros.
Mm.
So, you know, maybe even that, having someone like Keuchel around to be able to kind of coach him through this process will have more of an effect than just Keuchel's performance on the league.
Right.
On the
and how was Keuchel's first start? He had that recently.
It was a little
he?
Rocky. He gave up 4 runs in, I believe, 5 innings. I still am completely fine with that as his first start.
Right. He hasn't pitched in how many? He hasn't played a baseball game in how long?
Since the playoffs last year.
Right.
And he still looked good. It's not like he was playing poorly. There was one inning where they just couldn't stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
And he had 3 absolutely clean, maybe like 1 hit innings and then just got a little trounced on. But, you know, the Braves bats could have easily made up for that and they didn't.
Well,
so,
yeah. Well, that's great. It seems like our teams are at completely different spots right now.
Absolutely.
The Pirates got Trevor Williams back, hopefully getting a couple other arms back, but the news on Taillon seems to be like he still isn't throwing. And so it seems like,
unfortunately, both teams have the attention that they've drawn in the news recently is totally the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, the Braves are in the baseball news because everyone's finally recognizing that they're playing incredibly.
Yeah.
And the Pirates are in the news because they're going like, these are bubble teams that might trade players.
Yeah.
Like,
so I think so. You might see someone like Gregory Polanco get traded. I think.
Ooh.
I mean, I don't know if he's hurt, but he's not playing a lot. He seems to be like, they want him to be an he should be the type of guy that's an everyday guy, and he's not.
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't be surprised if they lost Vasquez, unfortunately.
Well, it must be nice to be at the top of your division.
Yeah.
Good for you. This segment is called High and Outside because in a few short hours here, we're, 3 hours away from game time? Less than 3 hours away from game time? Mary Beth will be playing her first baseball game. You played softball. Did you ever play actual baseball as a kid?
I did. I played in a coach pitch baseball league.
Yeah.
Because I started in T-ball, and then I think I played softball for one season and didn't love the atmosphere.
Of softball?
Yes.
Interesting.
And I found out that a guy who I knew through my mom's like office was coaching this coach pitch baseball team. And it was all boys. But I was like, but I know that guy. He would be pitching to me.
Yeah.
He's really nice to me.
Like,
and like I didn't enjoy this dugout experience. Like I just remember the women being like kind of aggressive.
Weird.
And I had played a lot of soccer and had a lot of fun with doing that co-ed.
Yeah.
So I think that kind
of. So your brain was just like, why does it have to be separated?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like the only girl on the team and did that for, I think, also one season. Baseball never really stuck. So I'm like kind of nervous about all
this. Yeah. So your first adult baseball game.
Correct.
This is baseballs, not softballs. This is wooden bat too.
Yeah.
I've never played wooden bat baseball. So I'm really, my dad had this wooden bat that was, I feel like the name of it was like Adirondack.
Oh.
I still remember we used to keep all our sports equipment in these big trash cans as kids in our garage.
Uh-huh.
And I would always like pull it out and just like wave it around. I'd be like, this thing's so heavy. And
yeah.
Then put it back.
Uh-huh.
But so you're joining a team from we were out at a bar talking to some mutual friends, and they were like, "Yeah, we're playing baseball. We need some more women on the team if you want to play." So
he saw me wearing my Braves hat, was like
putting
reminded.
That flag out there.
I know, was reminded I'm a big baseball fan, and was like, "Oh my god, do you play baseball?"
Yeah.
That was like what he said when he asked, and yeah, his team had been taking outs because they didn't have enough women
That's
on the team,
which is insane.
So I was like, "Well,
yeah,
if all I have to do is be better than not an automatic out,
yeah, you literally the bar you have to." Cross is the hope of a non-out.
And
just being there does that.
Yeah, if I ground into a double play, I'm going to be embarrassed.
I think that's
Spanish for embarrassed.
Yeah, I actually think it's the spell from Harry Potter in which you make people embarrassed. But that's neither here nor there. Yesterday, we went to the batting cages, and you took some swings at some baseball pitches, some 40-mile-per-hour stuff. The guy said they may throw around 60-ish.
I know, I'm nervous about that.
Yeah, we'll see. I wonder. Like, it's
how
just going to vary.
Yeah.
And, like, at batting cages, you're obviously swinging at everything, trying to hit them. You're going to get to see if you have a good eye or not.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to have a good eye.
I hope so. I feel like I had a pretty good eye when I played softball, but obviously had a ton more time for the ball to get to the plate. And I'm short, so I have a pretty small strike zone.
Just squat down, baby.
Yeah.
They got knees to pits.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a
good luck.
But how are you feeling? What are you most excited to do?
I am excited to see pitches. Like, I just want to see if what I have been able to do in batting cages the like two or three times we've been here will actually translate to anything. I just want to make contact. I told you that was my goal yesterday.
That's your goal, yeah.
I don't mind if I like strike out, whatever. I just want one at bat where I make contact, even if they easily get the out. I just want to get bat on ball.
I'll be honest. I'll be proud of you if you just like rocket one foul.
Yeah.
Like if you get the bat,
that's
if you
a good
crush
point.
One down the like third base line, but it's like really foul, I'll
feel good about that.
Yeah. You'll be like,
I just
got to straighten
the ball.
It out.
Yep.
And it's way different when the person across from you Because, like, we'll go to the park and I'll pitch to you.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm pitching so you can hit them.
And
this person is not pitching so that you can hit the ball.
Yes, of course. And typically we've done that with softballs, too. Yeah. So everything about the transition to baseball does worry me.
I mean, I think it's going to be hard, but I think you don't get discouraged by not being able to be an all-star right off the bat, because nobody is.
Yeah, that's why contact is simply my goal.
Do you think they'll put you in the field anywhere? What do you think?
I'm not sure what to expect with that. Especially, I would love to, if I were going to be in the field, play second, but I don't know if that will be likely. I just don't think I would make a very good outfielder, and I feel like second is one of the more,
I think second's an easier position.
I think so, too. I mean, that's where I was going with that.
Middle infield has I would say the easiest position is probably third. I mean, right field just frequency of ball,
sure.
So I think it's really easy to play third because you have such less to do. Middle infielders have the responsibility of covering cutoff throws you're always moving.
Yeah,
but corner infielders don't. First is really easy too.
But I don't want to have to handle the ball that much. First intimidates me.
Yeah.
And I'm not tall enough to be a first baseman. I don't have range.
But I wonder, I'm really interested to see the skill level of all these players. Because the guy said that if you played in college, you're disqualified.
Right,
which is great. So that means at best high school ball players.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see, because if there's real life pitching and people with decent arms, the right side might see more action because people aren't getting around on balls or getting I'm really excited for you, and I think you're gonna be fine. And I don't know, are you scared of anything? Like, is there anything that like really scares you?
I'm literally just nervous that I will be so bad that I will get hurt.
Yeah.
I'm nervous about like getting nailed in the face with the ball somehow.
It
but
can happen.
I think I'm hopefully, you know, I'm optimistic that I'll have enough like field and ball awareness that I will be able to avoid that.
Yeah. And you gotta your gloves, your defense, so get your glove up. You know, you can do it. I've taken balls off. You know, you take a grounder, it can hit you. I said last week, I think I told a story about playing with a friend and I threw a grounder to them. I just bounced up and hit him in the face.
Yes, right.
You know, it's unpredictable. But most people don't get hurt.
Right.
So I think you're going to be fine. And
I
hopefully,
think I'll be okay too.
I'm hoping it's just like rec sports are so tough because they can become such a bad atmosphere so quickly. Because they literally don't matter, and then people treat them as if they do. I've played rec basketball, rec hockey, rec softball with you, and it's just so easy for them to become a bad time.
It's the worst part of rec league sports
but
is when egos come out.
There's something about the fact that this is a baseball league, which seems like harder to get enough people to want to do.
Yes.
It's softball's obviously more popular, My hypothesis is that'll make the environment more friendly.
I think
because everyone's just like, oh, it's great. We're out here playing like actual wooden bat baseball.
And it's like there's something really pure about it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of two minds about there being like a shortage of women on their team. Because I'm like, hopefully that doesn't mean they like drove any away. But also, I think that it will be too. Like the team itself will be like, oh, thank God. Like we have a savior here.
Yeah. You might come in as like, I'm here. And they'll just be like, great. It's just nice to have a full lineup.
Yes.
I think rec sports often have trouble getting people anyway.
I do too.
So like our, when I played hockey, our hockey teams would be like, we have 20 people on the team because only 7 of them are ever going to show. Like,
because it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's not always going to matter for people to be there.
We're all older and we have priorities that take precedent over little play baseball league.
Right. And LA is very much a town of like, well, if something comes up,
yes, I can do that, which means I'm 40% there.
Right.
Like,
right.
But we'll see. I'm excited for you. And I think we'll have to at least briefly update how it went.
Probably
the next podcast. And maybe we'll have
continued.
Yeah, maybe
outside.
I'll keep score and have some ongoing stats.
Sure.
They offered that I could play two, but I'm not going to like try to unless they like are really short and they need someone to play.
Yeah.
Then I would. My knee's still in a little pain, so I'm like I can't really run.
Yeah.
But I if they need like a third base coach or I'll do, you know, I'll do any of that. I'll just be happy to cheer you on.
You're like a professional third base coach.
I could, man, I think that's like my thing. Like that's where I'm,
I said what I said.
That's how I peak, is I become a third base coach. You're like, go or don't go.
Like, I want to sell concessions until I die. So like, I think that could be cool for us.
I'm excited to root you on, and we got 2.5 hours to game time. So I think we should get you in the mindset and get you ready to go.
I gotta control my emotions.
Yeah, don't feel anything, because feeling is for weak people, and only strong people are good.
Yes. How will I know I feel strong?
I don't know.
Eric, the cheese of my life.
I'm your cheese, baby.
You my cheese. What's the inside scoop?
We have both been watching season 2 of Barry on HBO. We're only 3 episodes into an 8 episode season, but we both loved the first season, and the second season is similarly fantastic so far. I don't imagine it's going to get like, I don't
know.
I
can't fathom
it's,
there will be something in this that makes me go, I don't like this show anymore.
It is. Comedy dramas, I feel like, got a bad name because of the 2000s. The early aughts where, like, indie comedy dramas were, like, small relationship story with, with dry humor.
Yes.
And Barry is a comedy drama in a way that when it's playing for drama, it's playing very hard for drama. And when it's playing for comedy, it is playing super hard for comedy. If you don't know the show, the premise is that Bill Hader's character, Barry, is an ex-Marine turned assassin who goes to L.A. to assassinate somebody and then falls into this actor's group. And he just kind of like wants to stay and feels like acting is his purpose in life. And he's trying to get out of the assassination business. And, of course, that doesn't go the way he plans. So when it's drama,
hilarity ensues.
Yeah, when it's drama, it's focused on life or death stakes. The type of like, is Barry a good or bad person? Can he redeem himself? And it's played very seriously. And Bill Hader is a capable actor who's now won an Emmy, and he crushes in the show. And then when it's comedy, they have like goofy ass characters. It's really
there's a character named Hollywood Hank.
No-ho Hank.
No-ho Hank.
North
right.
Hollywood
even,
Hank.
Even more silly.
And he's a Bulgarian, and he's like
Chechenian
with like alopecia. I don't know if the actual actor does have alopecia.
I'm not sure either, but he's completely bald.
He's hysterical.
Yeah.
Absolutely
hysterical.
And just a performance you need to see, because it's so funny.
Does most of his scenes with Bill Hader, one of the greatest SNL cast members of all time, who's making an excellent career for himself post-SNL, and still steals scenes.
Yeah, that's a great... I didn't think about it that way,
Come
but that's
on.
A great way to put it. It's so funny. It's so good. It's so well shot and directed, and it's like thematically rich. The episode
Henry Winkler.
It's so funny that like the fact that he's the Fonz for our generation is such a footnote.
Yeah,
he was the paragon of cool,
right?
For on a TV show, and now he's just played these like sniveling, like pathetic characters, and he does it so well. His career has like the coolest arc to it.
I couldn't agree more, and he seems like the nicest guy. I read an interview recently where someone asked how he felt about jumping the shark, having initiated with the Fonz and Happy Days as like when a show went off the rails and got bad. And he was like, 3 words, who fucking cares?
Right? Like,
that is such a boss move.
Like he is so generally revered right now.
Yes.
It for something he didn't for the opposite of what he got known for. It's if you go back and like watch him on Happy Days, it don't even feel like the same person.
No, absolutely not.
It's so cool. It's such a like him in general is such a testament to and kind of reflective in the show that like you can live 2 lives.
Yeah.
And like if you do one thing, you can overcome it. Like and you can make yourself something else if you want to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the question that Barry's dealing with, and it's using guns and fights and goofy self-centered
and
actors
meta
to like
entertainment commentary. Yeah. There's a lot of that.
But I mean, as far as like if I thought of like essential shows right now to watch, It's at the top of the list, if not at the top. It's near the top, if not at the top.
It was one of the best first seasons of anything I had seen in a very long time, if not ever. And then, you know, we've gotten close to halfway through the second season, and I'm like, Jesus, this show just does stuff that other shows can't do as well.
It's not a light show. It's not put it on and just, like, leave it in the background and chuckle at, like...
Yeah.
The, like, haha, this nerd doesn't know how football works. but it's if
so
you
deep.
If you're looking for something to really sink your teeth into, it's which I could see people thinking that there's a little whiplash going on with the show tonally,
sure.
But I think that's part of the point of the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
But that just might not be people's bag of cheese, to coin a phrase.
Of course. Oh, no, I've heard that before.
Me and my friends say it all the time.
Yeah.
It's not my bag of cheese.
That is. You know what? This is my bag of cheese.
This was the cheese episode. It's been a Gouda one. We used Gouda before, but I couldn't, I couldn't think of more.
You cheddar believe
punt.
That this one was great.
I hope.
Tid Parmesan.
If you're listening to this, you're with other people and not provolone. And on that deep sigh, we'll see you next time.